If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
My children are fine. They're not traumatized. And I think they have a great life. They have two households. They have everything they need. The trick is that it's not coming from the people that people think that it should be coming from. The father is doing what I would call the heavy lifting. He's getting them up in the morning. But they have all of that. And so I'm able to provide them something different. I was very caught up in the life that I was in, and I might not have looked up, and it might have taken me many years to say, whoa, I did that thing that I didn't want to do, which was give up my life for someone else.
That's Ronna Reka Rizzuto. She's an author, college professor. She decided some time back while in Japan researching a book of hers that she really didn't want to be a mother or a wife any longer. So when she came back to the United States, she made it happen. She told her husband she wanted a divorce, and she told her kids that she wasn't going to be around all the time anymore for them. She says it's worked out just swimmingly. Of course, I didn't hear the kids or the husband interviewed here. Now, if she were a man doing this, we would call this absentee fatherhood, wouldn't we? And maybe we need a new term. Maybe we need absent motherhood. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon, March the 8th. You can join us. We'll be talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse for the first 10 minutes, then Douglas Johnson of Natural Right to Life, a conversation about congressional attempts to defund Planned Parenthood. Natural Law and the Family will be the subject in the second half of this hour with Dr. Ryan McPherson. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or you can visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
Isn't Ronna Reka Rizzuto, because of what she's done here, kind of the ideal feminist mother?
Well, you know, she's not only the ideal feminist mother, she's sort of the ideal modern mother in the sense that everything is about contract and everything is about choice. You know, so if I choose it, it's fine, and there's no other independent criterion for deciding whether something is good or not good. So, yeah, she is, in a sense, the ideal feminist mother. But, you know, let's be honest, it goes beyond feminism to the idea that what I choose is by itself a good thing, that any choice becomes blessed, in a sense, by the fact that I've chosen it.
She said, and we heard a little bit of it in our open theme, but she said in an interview with the press that she was asked, well, you know, what do you think would have happened if you hadn't done this, if you hadn't divorced your husband and left your kids and gone back to your life of full-time motherhood after your hiatus there in Japan researching your book? And she said, well, you know, I think I would have found myself years down the road having done the very thing I didn't want to do, which was give up my life for someone else. What do you make of those words?
Well, I think that you know, that is the modern attitude, Todd. You know, that's the modern attitude that if you look at what she's really saying, she's got an idea about love and an idea about the self that is, I think, very different from the Christian idea of the self and the love. I mean, the Christian idea is that you really find yourself through love and through the giving of the self. you don't lose yourself by doing that. That's how you find yourself, you know. And in Christianity, we have the idea that by following Jesus, that's how we become who we really are. And Jesus is the one guy you can follow around all day long and every place you want, and you will be more yourself at the end of it. Whereas if you're following, you know, the latest pop star or something, you really will lose yourself if you do that. And so Christianity has the idea that by opening the self to love and opening the self to others, that's how you become yourself. That's how you find yourself. That's how you find out who you really are. And so what she's got there is she's operating with some kind of idea that there's a kind of natural person that she has to discover, but that you discover it somehow independently of other people. And you discover it all by looking inward. You don't discover it by putting it out in the environment and interacting with others. And I honestly think that what she's proposing is, you know, of course she's not the first person to propose it. This is not original with her. I think it's really a dead end, you know. I think it doesn't, in the end, make people happy to view themselves in relationship to others in the way that she's doing. And so what I would say is whatever unhappiness she might have had with her husband or in her home, that the answer to that unhappiness, short of abuse, which I don't know that, you know, I don't think there was any abuse in the case, but short of there being abuse in the home, the way to solve whatever unhappiness you may have in a relationship is to go more deeply into the love rather than retreating from it in the way that she did. So I think she's profoundly mistaken, and, you know, 20 or 30 years from now, what she'll wake up with is alone, you know, and maybe she didn't think about whether that's what she wanted or not, but that's a very real possible cost at the end of the road, too.
I wonder if there's also at work here at least a little bit of a double standard. Because if a husband went off to research a book, came back and said to his wife, "Yeah, no, I just don't think I want to be married to you anymore," said to the kids, "You know I am your father, but I don't really want to be your father anymore," I don't think many would approve. We certainly wouldn't, if someone disapproved, we certainly would get the response that she's getting, which is, "Well, that's just being judgmental if you disapprove of that kind
right,
of thing."
Right, right. I think that's right. That at this point in history, that would be a deadbeat dad. You know, we have negative things to say about a person who does that, about a man who does that. And so, but at the same time, the whole term of non-custodial parent, to choose to be the non-custodial parent, that term is completely loaded with all kinds of freight and baggage. And if you really think about it, the idea of the non-custodial parent is a term that would be completely incomprehensible to anyone outside of a Western country up until about 50 years ago. Nobody ever heard of such a term. You know, the idea that you would that you would still count as the legal parent of a child, but you would not be living with them or not caring for them. You know, and that the state would be involved somehow in saying you're not allowed to see your child. You know, we separate you from your child. The other parent has the parental rights, the day-to-day interactive parental rights. You know, that whole area is, you know, really quite freighted with craziness, really, and crazy makingness too. I mean, she's lucky in a sense because she chose to be the non-custodial parent. She was not ejected from the home by somebody who wanted a divorce and said, "I'm going to be in charge of the kids. You go away." You know, so that's just another whole aspect of where the kind of choice parenting can end up for us.
See, that's the odd thing because I view this as parenthood may be a matter of a certain degree of kind of choice as to whether you want to marry and have children. It may be, at least in that sense, humanly speaking. But once the kids are around, you're a parent.
I agree.
There's no checking out. I mean, even if the marriage falls apart, which would be tragic in any case, that bond does not break. That responsibility cannot be simply delegated to the other former spouse.
Well, you know what it is? It's a parenthood is an identity. You know, the relationship is an identity. So you as a husband, and you as a father, and you as a son, for that matter, and you as a brother, those are identities. That's part of who you are. And so you really can't walk away from that. So in a way, the most alarming thing that she said in all of these various interviews, and there are several of these stories floating around the internet now, a couple different women talking like this, which all of a sudden, I don't know why people find this interesting and want to talk about it. But anyway, anyway, you know, the alarming thing that they're saying is, I don't want to be a mother anymore. Well, you can't really stop being a mother, just like you can't stop being a man or a woman. But the idea that you can walk away from that relational reality of who you are, of your identity, you know, this seems to me to be just false, right? But we're so, I guess you would say, freaked out over the relational responsibilities and the fact that that part of your identity isn't chosen and can't be chosen. You know, in other words, once you're a mother forever, whether you like it or not, that's part of your identity. And so for the person who thinks that choice is everything, that is an intolerable burden. You know, just the fact that it's there as something hanging over you that, oh, this is a part of your identity you don't choose, that there are just a lot of people in our world who have a lot of trouble with that. But the fact is, then you don't, if you walk away from that kind of relational identity, then it's not clear who you are, and you have to construct some kind of new identity for yourself, and there's a, you know, huge amount of problems associated with that, which we seem to be sweeping under the rug, you know, that you can be an author and a mother at the same time. You can be a wife and a professional at the same time. You can be those things, because being a wife and a mother is different from doing the work of an author or doing the work of a lawyer or whatever your activity may be. And so I think there really is something lost in the way that this person is thinking about it. And don't you think it's interesting, Todd, that so many in the mainstream media want to talk to her about this, you know, that the Today Show and Slate Magazine and all this, these people want to talk to her about this. Why do they find this so interesting? You know, that to me is revealing in itself, don't you think?
Dr. Jennifer Robag Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. You'll find a link to her blog and website under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Jennifer, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, Douglas Johnson, Legislative Director of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C., will be our guest. We're going to talk a little bit about ongoing attempts at the congressional level to defund Planned Parenthood. It's been pretty successful in the House of Representatives. Now it is, if I'm not mistaken, in conference committee that is being hashed out between the House and the Senate. Will it be successful? If so, how so? And what has been the response of Planned Parenthood? We'll answer those questions with Douglas Johnson after this. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen on Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at IssuesETC. Social networking for the thinking Christian, Facebook.com/IssuesETC, and on Twitter at IssuesETC. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, Facebook.com/IssuesETC, and on Twitter at IssuesETC.